How blessed we are to come together and sing these beautiful songs. We're committed to following where He leads, and how grateful we should be that Jesus found each one of us, found the sheep that went astray, threw His loving arms around us and drew us back into His way. That is indeed a wondrous story. And that wondrous story can be your story this afternoon if you'll come to Him. Trust in His promises, faithful and sure, and lean upon the Savior. In just a few moments, we're going to sing a song to invite you to do that and hope that you'll have the courage and conviction to make whatever changes you need to make that you might be in a proper relationship with God. I encourage you to get your Bible and come with me this afternoon to the book of Acts chapter 21. In Acts 21, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Chos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day." That's the reading of Acts 21, 1 through 7. Notice how that we read of a voyage that was taken by these men of God as they set forth to do the work of God. It occurred to me that in many ways our lives here on earth are much like a voyage. In this particular chapter, we read of sailing a straight course. The Bible talks about in verse 2 that a ship was found sailing, and in verse 1 we came with a straight course. What I'm doing this afternoon is just borrowing the language from this earthly voyage in Acts 21, 1 through 7, to make spiritual application of our spiritual voyage from earth to heaven. The Bible talks about the fact that there are two different courses that one can sail. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus talked about the two different courses. When He made His appeal in the Sermon on the Mount, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." There's the straight and narrow course, or there is the wide and broad way. As there are two different courses one can sail, there are two different destinations. One of these courses reaches life, and the other has as its end destruction. And there are two groups of people, either those who are among the few, who are sailing the straight and narrow course that leads unto life, or we have our lot in the midst of those who are described as many, who are sailing the wide and broad way that leads unto destruction. If you and I expect to find our abode at life, to receive life eternal in the world to come, then we must sail a straight course. And there are several things that are involved in that. Just as you might think of sailing an earthly voyage, sailing a straight course, as we find language in Acts 21, 1 through 7, that we can apply to sailing a straight course spiritually. The first thing I call to our attention is the fact that we must find a ship. In Acts 21 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia." We're going to allow the ship in this particular study to represent the Lord's church. You realize that if you were to go to a seaport, that you would find lots of different ships. And not all of those ships are going to take you to the place you want to go. You can't just board any ship or the ship of your choice. You have to find the ship that has the right destination. And that's true with the church. There are those who would suggest that You can just find the church of your choice or join the church of your choice. But certainly that mentality would not have worked in the days of Noah, would it? We realize that there was only one ark in which one could enter and be saved. The Bible talks about wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. 1 Peter 3:20 and 21. And as the Bible teaches that there was but one ark in the days of Noah, there is but one church that the Bible describes in the first century and present in the 21st century. That is the church that was planned by God, according to Ephesians 3:10 and 11, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The one church that was built by the Son of God. Jesus said, "I will build my church," Matthew 16 and in verse 18. The one church that Christ purchased with His own blood, as Paul charged the Ephesian elders to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. In the book of Acts 20, in verse 28. Yes, there is but one ship, as there is one body, Ephesians 4 and verse 4, which is the church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. I must find the ship that is sailing in the right direction. You know, there are those who claim to be of Christ. There are churches that claim to be going in the right direction. But I must make sure that the ship that I find is indeed sailing in the right direction. I must find the ship that has as its builder Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As Jesus said, "I will build my church," Matthew 16 and verse 18. I must find the ship that has Christ as its captain. In the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 10, Christ is pictured as the captain of our salvation. And so it's important as to the ship that I find. Find a ship, the Lord's church, sailing in the right direction, built by Christ, with Christ as its captain. But the second thing that is important, if we're going to sail a straight course, is we must board the ship. It's not enough for us to find the right ship. Oh, we might be at the seaport and we might recognize there's the ship that I need to board and I need to sail on if I'm going to have eternal life, if I'm going to reach my destination. But we have to board the ship. Acts 21 and verse 2 says, "Finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard." Christ has sounded the boarding call, if you will. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, when He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Matthew 11 and verse 28. That's the great invitation. And this ship is certainly large enough for all to board who are willing to accept the terms of boarding. You see, we set forth to board the ship as we accept the terms of the gospel, which involves, first of all, hearing the word of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, God said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. But it's not enough for us to just hear the Lord's word. We must have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned," in Mark 16 and verse 16. But also, we must repent of our sins if we're going to board the ship, enter the Lord's church. In Luke 13, 3 and 5, Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Paul, in his sermon at Athens in Acts 17 and 30, pointed out that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repentance is illustrated in the story Jesus told in Matthew 21, 28 through 30 about a certain man who had two sons. And he said to the one, "Go work today in my vineyard." But he answered and said, "I will not." But afterward he repented and went. He changed his mind and he changed his action. That's what repentance is. But also a confession is required if we're going to board the ship, enter the Lord's church. Jesus taught, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven," Matthew 10, 32. Paul taught that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, in Romans 10, 9 and 10. We have a good example of the confession being made by the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8 and in verse 37. when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But it's not enough for me to have heard and believed and returned from my sins and confessed my faith without being baptized. You see, baptism doth also now save us. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. In Acts 2 and verse 38, when folks asked, what shall we do? They were told, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, verse 41, and the Lord added them to the church, verse 47. That's how you enter the church, or board the ship, if you will, by being baptized into one body, 1 Corinthians 12, and in verse 13. And so I need to find a ship, not just any ship, but find the ship that's sailing in the right direction and board the ship through accepting the terms of the gospel. But the third thing that's important in sailing a straight course is that we have to set forth and sail. Notice in Acts 21 and verse 2, when a ship was found and they went aboard, the Bible says, and set forth. It wouldn't do us any good to board the ship if we're not going to set sail. Like running a race, you can't just enter the race, you have to run. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 24, Paul said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. The fact that we are to set forth and sail implies that there is work to be done. It's a sailboat, if you will, in that you and I have to put the sails up, which implies work and labor on our part. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, Paul said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so there's work to be done aboard this ship. The church is represented as the vineyard of the Lord. And if you're familiar with a vineyard, you know that is a place of work. Just like the father said to his two sons, go work today in my vineyard. Some people want a ship that they don't have to do any work in. And yet, the ship that the Bible represents is a ship where there is much to do. There's work on every hand. But in addition to that, I realize that there's something else that is involved. And that is, when you sail a straight course, sometimes there's a need to unlade some burdens. Notice in verse 3, when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. Have you thought about the fact that sometimes when we're sailing along that there are some burdens that we need to unlade? There is some cargo that perhaps we need to let go. Sometimes we can be burdened or weighted down with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. We have to release some weight in order to stay on course. Paul talked about that in 2 Timothy 2:20, beginning when he said, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Sanctification is that setting apart from uncleanness to holiness, which makes us vessels of honor. The Hebrew writer as well talked about the need to lay aside weight in Hebrews 12, when in verse 1 he said, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. When it comes to unladen burdens, like it or not, sometimes there's the need to withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. Whereas Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. So that the church, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 and 27, can be a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so from time to time, there's a need for the church to unlaid burdens, if you will, like that. And there's the need for us as individuals to lay aside some things. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul talked about putting off the old man when he said in verse 8, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." And so if we're going to sail a straight course, sometimes there's a need to unlaid burdens. Are we carrying around some burdens this afternoon that we need to set aside, that we need to unload, so that we can reach our destination with a straight course? But also in my reading of Acts 21, 1 through 7, and I think about this voyage on the sea and how that our voyage from earth to heaven is like that in many ways. I see in a follow-up story in Acts chapter 27, where Paul is taking his tempestuous voyage towards Rome, and how that there arose what is called a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, Acts 27 and verse 14. When the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, verse 15. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. Here we find that this was a tempestuous sea, and in the midst of such, four anchors were cast out. In Acts 27 and verse 29, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Sometimes our lives here on earth are like that, aren't they? You see, the waters aren't always calm. Sometimes there are winds of opposition that will blow. And if we're not careful, it can cause us to get off course. But if we're to sail with a straight course that we might reach our destination, sometimes we're going to have to cast out some anchors, just like they did on this occasion. They cast four anchors out of the stern. Are there some anchors that you and I have that we can cast out? I believe that there are some anchors of a spiritual nature that will keep us from drifting. I think of God, first of all, as being an anchor that each one of us need in our lives. In Psalm 18, or 16 and verse 8, notice where the psalmist said, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." Have you set the Lord before you always? Again, in this time, Psalm 62 and verse 2, the psalmist said of God, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." In verse 6, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." And again in verse 9, "Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them." Shows the vanity of putting your trust in men or in your wealth. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. And so God must be our anchor. But also a second anchor that we have that we can cast is the Word of God. In Psalm 119 and verse 89, the psalmist said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." There may be some things that are unsettled in the minds of men, but the Word of God is settled. It's fixed. It's fastened. It's firm. And so we can hold on to it. Again, in Psalm 119, notice in verse 11, he said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." Why'd you do that? "That I might not sin against thee." In Psalm 119 and in verse 101, he said, "I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word." And in verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Look to the word of God as an anchor. Take time daily to read it, to study it, to meditate upon it, to help you stay on course in life. But another anchor that we have that we need to cast is the anchor of prayer. We sang about sweet hour of prayer, and what a blessing it is to be able to go to God in prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication with the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, Ephesians 6 and in verse 18. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, talked about anxiety and periods of anxiety in our lives bring about tumultuous seas. And remember the anchor of Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Another anchor we have is hope. Where would we be this afternoon without hope? Why, we'd be of all men most miserable, wouldn't we? In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, it is written that by two immutable things, that is, unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. We're saved by hope. Romans 8 and verse 24. And our hope is that which is laid up for us in heaven, according to Colossians 1 and in verse 23. Too many are tossed to and fro, to borrow the language of Paul in Ephesians 4 and verse 14. There are some who err, 2 Timothy 2:18, who depart, Hebrews 3:12, and stray, 2 Peter 2 and verse 15. They get off course. And you and I need these anchors that we can cast in times of rough seas to keep us on the proper path. Paul was anchored in Acts 20 and in verse 24. Certainly there were rough seas in his life, not just physically in that sea voyage towards Rome, but spiritually. He said, bonds and afflictions abide me in every city, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul was so anchored that he could say, and you and I should be able to say, as the song says, I shall not be moved. But then finally, notice from Acts 21 and verse 7, that if we're going to sail with a straight course and reach our destination, we have to finish the course. The Bible says that when we had finished our course, it's not enough to just find the right ship and to board the ship and then stay on it for a little while and then abandon ship. No, we must sail to the end. There are some who unfortunately experience shipwreck. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 19, Paul appealed to the young man Timothy, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. What a tragedy when folks experience shipwreck. I'm not talking about a shipwreck at sea here in this life, as tragic as that is. But something even more tragic still is when there are those who have shipwreck of their faith. When their faith is overthrown, or they allow their faith to be cast off. We must, as Paul said in our reading from 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, finish our course. In the book of Revelation 2 and verse 10, the Lord said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. We must be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse 58. As the Bible talks about sailing, sometimes we sing songs about sailing. One of the beautiful songs in this book is the song entitled The Soul Sweet Home, song number 363, which says, I have heard of the joy of the soul's sweet home where the weary and wayworn at last shall come, and the light of its beauty I long to see when the glory of heaven shall shine on me. In its harbor of rest are the white, white sails of the ships that have weathered the bitter gales, and they strive no more as at peace they lie, for the storms of the earth life have all passed by. To that wonderful land with its fadeless flowers, with its beautiful songs and its perfume bowers, we are sailing on, and the years are few ere its harbor of rest shall appear in view. Oh, the soul's sweet home, oh, the city fair, through the golden gates we shall enter there. Oh, the light of its beauty I long to see when the glory of heaven shall shine on me. That's where we're sailing. And we invite you to come and set sail with us. We invite you to board the ship the same way that folks became members of the church in New Testament days. Would you answer the call this afternoon by believing on the Lord, repenting of your sins, to confess your faith and to be baptized? And then to set sail. It may be that you're already sailing, but you realize that you're on the wrong ship. You're headed in the wrong way. And you need to board the ship that is sailing to the proper destination. It may be that you find, as you examine yourself, that there is some extra weight that you're carrying around and it's causing you to drift off course. You need to lay aside some things through repentance. I hope that you'll have the courage to do that this afternoon so that you can help the church. If we can assist you in obeying the Lord through repentance, confession, and baptism, or returning to Him through repentance, confession, and prayer, we bid you come as we sing the song that's been announced, number 612.